John chapter 16, verse 16. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." And so they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking amongst yourself? What I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me.' Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but when I see you again, your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Well, I say these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said all these things, that in the world you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Well, last week, if you were with us, we were thinking about the topic of fearfulness. How do we move from fearfulness to boldness? And this week, the topic we are considering is the topic of sorrow. And I guess the older we get, the more sorrow we experience in life. And from my experience, I think there are two main things that causes deep sorrow in all of us. The first is relationships. Often we are disappointed, let down, or rejected by people really close to us. And that causes real pain and real sorrow. And I guess speaking for those who would call themselves Christians here, there is a particular pain when someone close to us rejects the gospel. And especially the case when the relationship sours, you are ridiculed for your faith. It could be a close friend, family member, or even a partner. And when the relationship goes that way, it becomes a real heartache, and it's a cause of deep sorrow. Well, the second thing, I think, is obviously death. I'm sure we've been reading the news. We know what's happening in Turkey and Syria. And I'm sure you saw the picture of the baby with the umbilical cord still attached to her mother. And even though we don't know her, it causes real sorrow just to see that picture. And I guess closer to home, many of us here would know Mikey, who used to lead the talks here. But very, very sadly, last year, he passed away. And that causes real sorrow to each of us who knew him. And again, I'm sure you know someone in your life, perhaps is critically ill, or maybe on the brink of death. And it's true that not all of life is sorrowful, but when it hits, it is especially painful. And so that's a question for today. How do we move from sorrow to peace and joy? And maybe you might say this is not immediately relevant for Tuesday lunchtime, because after lunch, you've got to go back to the office, you've got to have a meeting with your director, you've got emails to send. But whether you call yourself a Christian or not, we are all holistic individuals. These sorrows will impact us at a very deep level. So whether there's something now in your life causing you pain, or there will be something that will come in the future. So it is a question worth asking. How do we move from sorrow to joy? For a final week, we are back in the upper room. It's the evening before Jesus goes to the cross. And the moment or the feeling in the room is an experience of deep, deep sorrow, because it's the night before his betrayal and crucifixion. Jesus, well, he's going to die. I want you to imagine with me, you're one of the 11 disciples, a bit like us here, 11 people in the room. You've risked all your lives to follow him. And what does Jesus say to you? I'm going to die. How would you feel? A deep, deep sorrow. Look at verse 20 of our passage today. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You see, the disciples, they will weep, and they will lament, and they will experience real sorrow. But also in our passage, there is movement, there's progression, because they will move from sorrow to joy. Look at verse 20 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. There is a movement in our passage from great sorrow to great joy. And so that raises the question, how? What is it that will move them from sorrow to joy? And the answer is in this really odd conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. I wonder, when I was reading the passage, you might have thought some of the conversation was really a bit strange. I look down to verse 16 again. A little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while you will see me. So some of the disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. It's quite an odd conversation, if you're sort of listening in. What does he mean by a little while? What does Jesus mean? Remember the context of the upper room? It is the night before Jesus dies. And so he explains what he means by literal in verse 20. You will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. And so I think the first little while, Jesus is referring to his death. When he dies, the world will rejoice. The disciples, they will weep and lament. But remember, sorrow is not the last word. How about the time after? Well, it's speaking about his resurrection. That is the moment that sorrow will turn into joy. It is the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so, here in this passage, we have the secret to irrepressible joy. The central event, the pivotal event, the core event that would unlock a new era of history has happened. The resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And so the secret, like last week, if you were here, is to grasp the moment we're in, to perceive, to understand, to really comprehend the moment that we live in today. And there's something objective about this moment that we live in, despite what it feels. Because Jesus, when he steps out of the grave, he inaugurates a new era, an era of joy. Well, you're following the handout, we're on our first point, the era of joy. Look at verse 20 again. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish, for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The analogy that Jesus used is the picture of a woman giving birth. And you can imagine when preachers look at this passage all across the country, they will apologize for not really appreciating what it really feels like. But I don't really have to describe. If you know the experience, you know it. And you can imagine the pain, the agony of childbirth, and with the pushing and pushing, and out pops the baby. It's great relief, a real experience of joy, because new life has been born into the world. And so that is the picture of what the disciples experience when they see the resurrected Jesus. Joy of a new life. I want to suggest there's more going on in this passage, because this illustration about the baby, it's more than an illustration. There's something far more significant. The language of human being and being born again, they are loaded terms in John's Gospel. If you know John's Gospel well, you know the word born or being born again comes right out of chapter 3 in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. You need to be born again. And the word human being, it literally translates man, mankind in rebellion against God. So I think what's happening here is not just an illustration, but it's a description of a whole new man, a whole new humanity being born, which death no longer has the last word. See, it's a humanity that is born never to die again and is unshakable. As Jesus comes out of the tomb, a whole new humanity is born. And because death would not have the last word, their joy would not be removed. Look again at verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but when I see you again, your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you. Unshakable joy. But it's not just unshakable joy, it's also explosive joy. Look at verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You see, that day of resurrection, it shapes the way we ask. Firstly, we will ask nothing of Jesus. What does that mean? I don't think it means that we'll stop speaking to Jesus. We will stop making requests to him. Rather, I think what it means is that we'll stop asking questions about his identity. There will be clarity of who he is. He is the Son of God. We will not ask him anything. But we will ask anything of the Father. Do you see that in verse 23? Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You might be wondering, what does that mean? What does it mean to ask whatever? Some suggest it's the reason of the current state of the British economy. Because of our reticence about speaking about money, we don't ask the Father for a GDP surplus. And as a result, there's a deficit. We go into recession. Well, obviously not. This is not what Jesus means. Rather, what he's saying here is asking in line with his will for the world, for fruit, for people to populate that new humanity. And so when Jesus says, ask anything, he's saying, ask big prayers for more fruit, for the world to be filled with fruit. And so as we see many people around the world coming to know the Son, you will experience full joy, explosive joy, when the world is filled with fruit. And so, as Jesus, he steps out of the tomb, he inaugurates an era of unshakable, explosive joy. You see, back in the Old Testament, the prophets, they were promised that there will be a future day of resurrection, and they were looking forward to a future hope. But for them, it was an unfulfilled hope. But today, we are in a different moment. The decisive, unique event has happened in history. A heavy stone has been rolled away. The resurrected Jesus has stepped out of the tomb, a new humanity that will share in his resurrection life. A new humanity created by asking big prayers to the Father. And that has inaugurated an era of joy. And so there's deep sorrow while we are on this earth. But for the Christian, only for the Christian, it is possible to experience joy in the midst of sorrow. It's not a happy, clappy joy. It's not a fake it till you make it joy. But it's a deep, confident joy, even in the midst of death. Jesus is alive. He is alive. So we can have joy. Well, we just considered the issue of sorrow through the experience of death. The next question is, how about sorrow through relationships? The pain that we experience when someone close to us rejects the gospel. The answer, again, it's a funny conversation that disciples are having. Remember, they were asking, what do you mean by a little while? What does he mean? There's a lot of ignorance with the disciples, despite being with him, right, with Jesus, in the upper room. But things will change in a new hour. There will be new clarity, a new relationship, a new era of peace, peace with God. Again, if you're following the handout, we're on our second point. We are in an era of peace with God. Look at verse 25. I've said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming where I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. You see what Jesus is saying there? The day will come where there will not be ignorance, but clarity about the Father. Plain speech, plain understanding. But it's not just plain understanding, it's complete access and real intimacy. Look at verse 26. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I have come from God. Well, those verses, I think, are a bit confusing. And do you understand what Jesus was saying? Well, look down to verse 26 again. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. So I think what Jesus is saying is that we will ask the Father in Jesus' name, but Jesus himself, he doesn't have to be the middleman. We do not need him to pass on our messages to Father. There will be a direct access to God. Verse 27, for the Father himself loves you. It will be a new level of relationship, a closer access. The loving relationship that the Father has for the Son, you will share with the Son. He will love you as he loves the Son. And so this new hour, it's a new hour of clarity, knowing the Father in heaven, a new level of intimacy, peace with God. When is that hour happening? Well, the disciples think it's in the upper room, but it only happens the day Jesus steps out of the tomb. Flip the page to chapter 20 of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 17, as Jesus meets Mary outside the tomb, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You see, the moment he steps out of the tomb, the disciples, they have a new relationship with the Father. But it's not just a relationship, but also peace. Look down to verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19. Jesus came, stood among them and said to them, peace, peace be with you. And so the moment that Jesus steps out of the grave, he has inaugurated a new era, an era of peace, peace with God. And so the great divide that's in this world is not East versus the West, not North versus the South, not Tory versus Labour, not even jam first or cream first. The great divide in this world is between God and humanity. Humanity has joined the devil to shake our fist at God. But you see, we are not in that age anymore. There is clarity, access, and intimacy with God the Father. What do we call him? We call him our Father. Our Father. It is amazing The Jews did not even mention the name of God, yet we call him Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. It is amazing. An era of peace. We are no longer at war with God. We have peace. It's not a subjective, warm, fuzzy experience, but an objective peace with God. All because Jesus is alive. So here's the question. How do we move from sorrow to joy and peace? The answer is to grasp this moment that we are in. We are in a new era. The old has passed. The new has come. It is an era of joy. Unshakable, explosive joy. And an era of peace. Again, this is not as a subjective feeling, but an objective description of the age that we live in. See, because 2,000 years ago, the Son allowed himself to be pinned to a Roman cross. And the sun had darkened, the sky was dark. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you see, his Father was with him and heard his cry. And on the third day, he raised him from the dead. And as Jesus stepped out of the grave, he has inaugurated this new era of peace and joy. And so for the first time in the lunchtime talk, we're going to hear something quite special. We're going to listen to a bit of Christian rap which speaks about Jesus being alive. I'm not sure whether you could hear the lyrics. It's quite simple, but very profound. It basically says, everyone is dead, except Jesus. Jesus is alive. The song goes on to also describe Muhammad is dead, Buddha is dead. All religious people coming from God or whatever, but they're all dead, and only Jesus is alive. And so subjectively, we might experience deep sorrow. I'm not sure what sort of experiences you have in your life. But remember, Jesus is alive. And so as we think about the relational pain we experience, the sorrow that comes from that, perhaps you're a Christian and you have someone close to you rejecting the gospel, remember the moment you're in. You're in an era of peace and relationship with God. And though it still hurts, there is deep comfort from knowing that you can call the Creator God your Father. Again, we also experience sorrow from death, and we can ask the questions, why does death happen? Why do we lose Mikey? Why does the earthquake happen? And there's obviously much more to say, but we must remember, death is not winning, Jesus is alive, there is resurrection hope. And even in the deepest loss, the Christian can remember we are in an era of joy. And the last thing to say before you head back to your office is to ask. Jesus says, in that day, you can ask the Father whatever you ask, and he will give it to you. So ask big. Ask for the world. Ask for China. Ask for Iran. Ask for North Korea. Ask for Cambodia. And dare I say, ask for the United Kingdom. Ask for your companies. Ask for PwC. Ask for Norton Price. Ask for Southwark Council. Ask that people in the office turn to Jesus. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Why don't I pray for our time together? Jesus says, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Father, we praise you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that when he stepped out of the grave, he has kick-started this new era of peace and joy. And we do ask that in your great kindness, you might cause many people in our offices and all around the world to turn to him, to recognize him as your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.